Right now it is time for the Berkshire Edge On Air. Now you can find the Berkshire Edge at theberkshireedge.com. They provide news, information, community events, calendar events, and more at their website. And it's once again theberkshireedge.com. And it's nice to welcome in Marcy and David once again. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Marcy's going to have to carry the ball here because my computer is not working.
Well, David knows the stories. He's having a problem.
There's something. Well, no, here it goes.
What we call.
And I thought I heard you say that you can buy the Berkshire Edge, but the Berkshire Edge is free to read.
Well, no, if I said buy, I meant that you can just go to the Berkshire Edge. You don't have to buy it. It's free. It's absolutely free. There's no paywalls or anything like that. So
no paywalls. And, of course, we do have a membership program. If you like it, you can help support us.
All right. All right. Well, let's get right to the top of the news here that you the stories that you've provided. And by the way, we just touch on the stories. It's just a sampling of the stories that you'll find at theberkshireedge.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Story number one: an interesting debate once again on your pages about local businesses. The difficulty that they have hiring workers. You know, I spoke to Skip Barber, same thing at Lime Rock, same thing at most restaurants, at most inns. It's you know, coming back off this pandemic, it's been a lot harder than you would think.
Well, we did a story about local businesses and especially local merchants, you know, who are operating stores in downtown Great Barrington and in other towns around the Berkshires that they can't find workers. I mean, it's not only just summer help; they can't find help at all. And so, we did an interesting story about from the perspective of these local businesses. And this is not the first time we've done something like this. But at any rate, it was very interesting because we really sparked a lively discussion. We had letters to the editors and comments, all of which are there on the Edge. Somebody wrote in a very thoughtful letter about, the reason that you can't find workers is that there aren't jobs that anybody can live, that are paying salary and benefits that people can live on. This is a real problem throughout the Berkshires, and I imagine in Connecticut as well, and throughout the country. You know, people are saying that that workers are getting too much on unemployment, and so they don't want to work. But these people are, these people who wrote into us are saying that it's not that they're getting so much money on unemployment; it's that the jobs that are being offered are not paying living wages. Or they have no, they have no career path.
Or it's the fact that they've been unemployed for so long and so far behind for so long that their circumstances in actually applying for a job have changed. There's certain requirements that they need probably to catch up on everything that they're going to have to catch up on. I mean, people that were exempted from rent during this whole crisis, it wasn't wiped off the books. They have to start paying it back. There's so many different factors that are involved in this story.
It's true, and the other thing, the other part of this, which is true across the country, is the question of affordable housing. And we've had many articles about the fact that housing costs are so high right now, construction costs are very high, and the real estate market is white hot. Everything is going immediately, many times, for cash, and also that local workers are being priced out of the market by second homeowners.
Well, that was a problem. So, that was a problem that was that has been developing here for the past 20 years, but the pandemic has brought it to a whole new level. There just is whatever might have been what somebody might have kept that in the family as a rental property right now because prices are so high, they're selling. They're selling mm-hmm. to benefit the family, not renting it out. They're just selling it. So all these things.
And also people are buying houses, renovating them, yep. and using them for Airbnbs.
Yeah. Then it's a problem that once again has been exacerbated by the pandemic, and there's no easy answer as we find out with most of the problems.
No, but you know, it is a real threat to the economy, to the local economy, because if businesses can't find workers, then they can't function. And they will go out of business.
It goes from that. It also goes to our volunteer emergency services, the first responders. If they can't afford to live here, folks are going to have to pay incredibly high taxes to bring in fire departments, to bring in right. paramedics. I mean, it's a domino effect. One thing knocks down one domino, and the rest of them all go.
Right.
It's something that.
But I think nobody realized. But you are right that it, you know, the pandemic exacerbated it because I think no one was taking these things so seriously before. But now we are really confronted with lack of workers, and you know, and it goes also to seasonal workers too, who are not allowed into the country, or who have not been allowed into the country in the past. So it's a very big problem of how businesses are going to function and how the local economy is going to grow, or even stay at its previous level without enough people.
Yeah, that's it. We'll continue on with business because in your business section Monday, some of the articles, the first installment of a new series, Personal Finance.
Yes. Now, of course, this is completely the opposite of the story that we were just talking about. But we do have a business section every Monday. And David, do you have any questions?
No, I can't get on. I can't find a... Never mind.
We have Business Monday. We pull together our business stories for people who are interested in them and present most of them on Monday morning as Business Monday. And so we have a variety of articles every week, but this week we have a very interesting new series under the rubric of personal finance by a man named Rob Klarfeld, who has had a very, very successful career in New York advising families and individuals on their own personal finance. And now he has retired to the Berkshires and is interested in sort of sharing his experience with the community and our readers. So his first article is an article about pricing your house to sell. Now, again, I mean, we talk about, you know, before that you can't find a house, and here he's talking about pricing your house to sell. But he's saying that people, when they are ready to sell, often make big mistakes about how much their house is worth, and that he says that there is sort of a very interesting. I'm just looking up the title. It's the something effect. The entitlement effect. When people go to sell their houses, they believe that their house is worth a lot more than it may be for a number of different reasons. I mean, they believe that, you know, that they often demand much more to give up an object than they would be willing to pay to acquire it. And it's apparently, you know, this is a theory that was developed by a Nobel laureate in economics. Called the entitlement effect. And so what he is saying, you know, people are sabotaging their own sales by mispricing their homes, and that you really should use a professional realtor who knows the market. So that is his, you know, advice in personal finance.
Now, you also have another interesting article on the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires.
Right. The Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires is an organization that was started about 5 or 6 years ago by a woman named Liana Toscanini, who realized that there were, you know, an enormous number of nonprofits in the Berkshires, and they needed help. I mean, they often needed guidance, they needed support, they needed technical assistance, they needed to find qualified board members. And so she established the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires, which advises, you know, which gives courses and special programming, and allows nonprofits to share their experience with each other. And now, for the fourth year in a row, she has she's held an annual awards ceremony to honor the people who have been leaders in the nonprofit world in the Berkshires. This year it was a virtual awards ceremony, which is still available online. But the reason that we wrote about it is not just about the awards ceremony, but really to bring attention to the good work of this center, which is advising and supporting nonprofits in the Berkshires. So it's a model that could be replicated around the country if it's not already. But a very interesting contribution to the nonprofit sector.
All right. We switch from nonprofits and business to school news once again. Monument High School, Mountain High School, the plans to renovate it, a bumpy path indeed.
It has been over the years. And now they have to, they're at it again. They're going to have to do some serious renovations to the high school, and they are mulling how to craft their application
to the state.
And it's a long process to even get into the queue. Because there are so many school districts, all school districts across the state are also in the same boat, and they all have various needs, and so they are in a queue in the state's funding program. So hopefully we'll see how well we stack up against in this process. But it can be quite a long. Can be many years.
Well, and this is particularly sensitive here.
Yeah.
Because 10 years ago, we were at the top of the queue, and the state offered us something like $20 million
yeah.
toward the renovation of Monument Mountain High School. And the town voted it down. There was a misinformation campaign that led people to believe that even if we didn't accept this money, which of course we would require us to share the cost, that even if we voted it down, that the state would give it to us anyway, which
yep.
of course didn't happen. And here we are 10 years later. The school is leaking. Its facilities are not up to standard. The science labs are not contemporary. The wiring is not contemporary. As I said, the place is leaking.
It has a roof. It has a flat roof, and we've run pictures many times of them having big buckets in the hallways to catch the dripping ceilings, it has just been a torturous process to not only get an application together, but also to get the community to support it, because it's a regional school district, so all three towns have to approve it.
What's interesting, even if the town were to be at the top of the queue right now and get that $20 million,
yeah.
that $20 million doesn't go nearly as far as it would have 10 years ago.
That's
exactly.
right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not enough. I mean,
yeah.
it will still require the town, but you're right. I mean, it's going to cost us more now than it would have 10 years ago.
It's one of those, hindsight things, which, unfortunately, when you have disinformation campaigns, whether it's local, whether it's regional or national, disinformation campaigns seem to work on people far better than just normal debates, where people don't get into a debate. They just issue a ton of disinformation. That's a problem that has been really set afire by helpful by online, by the internet, unfortunately.
Yes, yes. And well, this was pre-internet, actually, or certainly pre-social media, and when this original election, this original opportunity was turned down.
Well, no, there was it. Well, it's just the internet was here, but I think it's.
Yeah, but it was yes. Refined.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they're a news editor right now.
Still,
you don't know.
Right. And they don't realize, do they?
Well, you know, one of the problems is that, you know, the community is aging. And the people who are the property owners and the largest taxpayers don't have kids anymore in school. So, you know, it's not an important issue to them. It's just that they're tax rate is going to go up as a result of the school assessment.
Yeah,
and that's all they're thinking of.
Yeah. Wait, to continue on with that, you even have the Great Barrington Select Board getting in the mix with the Mass Department of Transportation.
Oh, well, yeah, so this is another school story. Go ahead, David.
Oh, well, yes, they're trying to... the entrance to the high school is a dangerous intersection, and they're trying to... it really needs some help to make it safer.
There have been several crashes.
Yeah, and there's several crashes, and it's only a matter of time before somebody else gets really hurt. And so this is another high school issue. And we have on the picture of in front of it, that leads off this story is a story of a multi-vehicle crash that occurred right at the foot of the driveway of the high school. So they're hoping to get they've been trying for years to get this intersection rebuilt so that it's safe for the people, you know, dropping off their kids and for the heavy traffic on Route 7. So maybe they'll get it this time.
Well, you know, when you think about forward thinking, I'm going to bring this up because it applies to this. The Sharon Green Committee this year appropriated money to purchase granite curbing. Why? Because the state, within the next year or two, is going to be repaving the main street that goes through Sharon, Route 41. Mm-hmm. And if you supply that curbing, they'll install it. So they bought it at today's prices, and it will now match the granite that's on the upper end of the green when the state comes by and does their work. So sometimes it just takes forward thinking,
right?
Yep.
For boards of finance and for voters to understand this is not a now topic. This is a topic that you're really going to be thankful you dealt with it now in the future.
Right,
and that's hard. That's hard to get voters, especially senior citizens, to think of that way ahead into the future.
Well,
it is, and also but those one thing is that we need all three towns which are in this school district to agree, and they have to agree individually at their town meetings to appropriate town funds for their portion of these repairs. So it's
very complicated.
It can get dicey.
Yeah, see, in Region 1, whenever you have a budget vote or a vote on a proposition like this, every town votes, and it's the total of the vote.
Each into town. If one town says no,
it's no.
Done. Yeah.
Boy, it's tough, boy.
And these kids are going. I mean, it's discouraging for kids and faculty to be, operating out of this school where every time it rains, there are trash baskets in the hallways catching the water that's coming in, and we're trying to attract young families and young people to come to the. You know, to come to Great Barrington, which they are. You know, I do understand from brokers that a lot of the people who are buying up houses in the Berkshires now are younger, which is great. And the private schools are being inundated with applications, and it's not happening with the public schools, because even though Monument Mountain is considered a very good school, I mean, kids get a good education there and they go on to good colleges. But the physical plant is so discouraging.
All right.
it makes it much less appealing.
Let's get on to the final story, because I love talking about it. I met Leon Botstein when I worked in Kingston, New York many, many years ago.
Mm.
So many years ago that he had a full head of hair.
Yes, he has no hair now.
He has no hair now. But he, of course, has been the leader at Bard College at Simon's Rock for many, many, many years.
Well, and he became president of Bard College, I think, when he was still in his 20s.
Yes, he was an extremely young president, but he gave the, of course, commencement speech at Simon's Rock.
Right. And, you know, Simon's Rock is an early college. I mean, and it's one of Botstein's ideas that it's here in Great Barrington, but it has a national reputation. And it's a school where you can begin high school, you can begin college at 16. So it's for kids who are, you know, who sort of bored or feel that they're not getting, you know, instruction up to their level in their high school, so they can come and begin college at 16. And they give associate degrees after 2 years and full college degrees after 4 years. And so we went to the graduation on Saturday, and it was, of course, very interesting because it was a combination of people being present and people being online, and it also it functioned as the graduation for the class of 2020 last year, since they had no graduation at all. But the part that David and I felt was really the most amazing and what blew us away was the speech that Leon Botstein gave to the graduating students at the end, his charge to graduates.
He was really terrific.
I mean, you know, and he talked about the value of education, that that education introduces us to people who think differently from the way we think. It's based on inquiry and science. It's an effort to use information to arrive at the right conclusions. And he said, you know, that these students are graduating at a time now where democracy is more threatened than it's ever been in the United States, and that we are facing a situation where language is being manipulated, where people are being forced into conformity, where people are discouraged from thinking.
That's right. All the values of the liberal education that are instilled in students inquiry and intelligent assessment of facts and so on are being discouraged. He was saying in our culture, in fact, education itself is being discouraged. So he was quite a sobering.
Right.
Quite a sobering message to charge to these graduates.
Right. I mean, what he was saying is that, you know, democracy has never been in a more precarious position, and that they need to use their education to fight autocracy and tyranny and the forces of conformity and the forces of ignorance.
Yeah. Well,
and also, you know, to realize that one of the things that education teaches you is to be kind to people who are different from you, which is, you know, also a sort of an interesting thought about education.
All right. Those stories and more, theberkshireedge.com, and we'll speak to you guys next week.
Okay. Okay, Marshall. Have a good day.
Take care,
and
guys.
And also, I just want to say that the current issue of our print magazine comes out on Friday, and will be distributed for free around the Berkshires and into Connecticut. So look for it. It's got many interesting articles about things to do in the Berkshires over the summer.
Okay, we'll speak to you guys next week. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
The Berkshire Edge on air. Once again, you can find them at theberkshireedge.com.